I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did we bring Carol up?
Just before the public hearing.
Is she on cue?
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane. You do good work.
Roll call.
You don't.
Counselor Egbert.
Here.
Counselor Boggs.
Here.
Counselor Meyer.
Here.
Counselor Anderson.
Here.
Counselor Lazier.
Here.
Counselor Stone.
Here.
Mayor McKnight.
Here.
All present.
Any media here tonight? Okay. Announcements. Please be sure to sign the sign-in sheet if you haven't already. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it into the recorder. Forms are available on the sign-in table in the back of the room. Public comment, agenda items only. The purpose of the public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens must come to the microphone. Please state name and address. I have one form here. Darlin', come on up. Just come right up to the microphone there.
Come on up.
My name is Darwin Etter. I recently purchased a piece of property on West 6th and received this in the mail. Actually, I just wanted to listen to what the whole zoning change possibilities are. I don't really know what my questions would be yet.
Okay.
So I don't want to waste anybody's time.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, so presentations. Tammy, Chamber of Commons.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. It's nice to see you, and thank you for letting me postpone my presentation from 2 weeks ago till today. I had a fabulous time in Texas, but I'm really happy to be home.
All right.
So I'm passing out our report, budget versus actual from July through the end of April. I've also got the second page is the New Year's budget, and then the top little pretty thing is our new rack card that we just had got. So one of these, and I'm going to talk about all three of these items.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So we've got the budget versus actual report, and things are going along pretty well. I don't think there's really anything that jumps out there unless you have any questions with that. And then if you go on to the budget, which is the second page there, you'll see that we've upped the advertising budget. We're planning on moving to a little bit more high-profile billboard. We'll have the one south of Roseburg down at Round Ferry for a little while longer. We've got a great ad on there for...
Black Ferry.
Yeah, have you seen that?
Yeah, I've been working down there.
Okay, yeah, it looks good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And then we're planning on having Meadow. There's a nice one right there just north of where Southern Oregon Diesel used to be. There's one that's vacant right there, and we're in the process of negotiating for that. So billboard advertising will be a little bit more prominent and a little more expensive. Also, I had $2,000 in there for building maintenance and services. Talked to Aaron the other night, and it actually may run a little higher this year because there's a few logs on the cabin that are rotting and need to be replaced. And the city has some funds for part of it, and I told him we'd be glad to use our part of the budget for that also because that's what that's for and might need to use some of the general admin. He wasn't sure, somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 he probably was going to need from our site. So we've got money to cover that here. I had already had this generated and approved by my board before I found that out for him. But that general admin number there is kind of discretionary for these kind of things. Let's see. So you'll see that we've got Blackberry on there and the Hot Rod Fun Run and the Rodeo and the Street Fair. I don't know if you guys have heard about the Street Fair that we're working on. It's on the list of events, and it's quite a collaborative effort, actually, between many different people and organizations in town, and it's a great example of what we're going to be able to do in Sutherland when people pull together. It's going to be quite a big event, really. So they approached the graffiti committee in Roseburg to have an official event here on Friday, and they said yes. So we have a cruise to the street fair in Sutherland. It'll run from 10 to 4. We're planning on having vendors. We've got a lot of advertisement out there for vendors, and there'll be different bands. There'll be, I think, a magician or something. There'll be parking along the streets for the cars, the classic cars. And then the big event for that day will be a Ford and Chevy drag race. And it's kind of a gambit because obviously we're probably not going to have a regular drag race somewhere in downtown, but it all depends on how you use the word drag. So the vehicles will not have any engine or transmission in them. They'll just have Ford and Chevy buffs out there, and we'll see.
You want to bring people together by Chevy and Ford people?
I was going to say,
that should be interesting.
But I think it'll be a lot of fun, and so
we've got
a budget for it. We're going to got advertisement. We've got our graphic designer who helped us with these, and also our billboard advertising, working on several of those things. So it's a lot of local resources from a lot of people are coming together for this, so it's going to be a lot of fun. On the flag project development there, I've only got enough for two monuments there because this is the year I'm planning on marketing really heavy to other people, to community and businesses and things. So we should have the other six delivered sometime in the next 3 weeks, I would say. And so we're planning a pre-party for Flag Day this year. It'll kind of be our kickoff event. It's kind of a soft opening, if you will. Going to have the six of those monuments on the triangle out there, that lovely big slab that doesn't have anything on it. And Flag Day is on a Sunday this year, so we're not expecting a whole lot of response on that day. What we decided we would do is send out invitations and have a little event like from 9 to 11 in the morning or 9 to 11:30 where people could come in and look at the seven, get a feel for what those monuments are going to say and how great it's going to be when we have all 28 of them. And I'll have the makings of the plaques for all the ones that haven't been done yet so people can see what they would actually say on them, because it's a little bit more enticing when you see actually, you know, the events in history that were going on and those kind of things. So I'm going to have my ducks in a row and have everybody that could possibly, I think, I'm invited to be there. And this will be the year that I plan on getting most of the support from community. That 6,400 is kind of a contingency plan, just in case I don't get as much response as I expected this year. So that's what that is. And obviously, I'm planning on spending a good portion of the carryover funds. So I'm shooting for the fact that we're going to have about 21,000 still there to carry over. And with this budget, it's overspending the amount of money basically that we're getting from the city by 10, so that will come out of the carryover funds.
Tammy, I think I've asked you this before. Maybe I haven't. But when, like the rodeo, snowflake, museum funds, and Blackberry, whenever they come to the chamber for funds, do you ask for a detailed budget, or do you just ask for a breakdown of what they're asking for?
Just a breakdown of what they're asking for. Generally, it's for promotional costs, the advertising thing.
So you don't ask for an annual budget from them?
No.
May I ask why? I'm just curious why.
Well, that never really seemed to be a factor in this. As long as they were spending it for promotion and advertising things that were going to bring people in from a wider...
I was just curious.
Thank you, sorry about that.
Where's the street fair going to be held? Downtown here?
Downtown. We haven't dialed that in exactly. We're meeting with, I believe, tomorrow with city staff to really dial that in where that's going to be. But there will be bands located on Central, and there'll be some events. I think the drag race is going to end up like on the, well, I was envisioning it. I don't know if it is or not, but like on the back street here that goes here all the way to the community center, you know, the world, there will be other things going on. I'm not, the location is still to be determined.
So who's putting that on? Is that the, what group?
Well, I would, the chamber is the, I would say, sponsoring group. You know, we're paying for advertising and things like that. But like I say, we've got a great group of people from wide range of areas pulling together on this. You've got the Downtown Merchants Association. Yeah, people are coming together on this. Any other questions on either of those two things? Just wanted to highlight those rack cards. If you, you know, the front is, like I say, the imitation is the highest form of flattery, and Oakland has done a great events card for years. So we went ahead and did that. And then on the back, we kind of tried to do some of our own things there and have a picture of our monument and just some fun things to do. And promotion signage, that's on our list for this coming year, things that we're going to really go after. I was able to go to the Lions Club, the Lioness, the Blackberry, and talk to them about contact people and being listed on the contacts, links and resources page of the chamber website. So there's good contact information for that. Also, you might, if you get a chance, look at a website. It's justserve.org. And we just recently heard about this, and it's a great place where opportunities to volunteer is posted for different locales. You enter your city, state, and zip code, and it comes up with a bunch of opportunities. And so I'm thinking that's going to be a great vehicle to use to get volunteer opportunities out also. So not only our website, but that website also.
Yes, another question. I'm just curious why the golf course isn't on here.
Well, because we were picking and we just, you know, ran it really fast. That's a great idea to have on the next one. It should be.
Well, I would think so, since, you know, it's...
Although, you know, they are not chamber members.
They're not
what? They're not chamber members. You need to talk to them about that. They're kind of off our radar.
About the first thing you see coming down the freeway coming
right,
south,
you're right.
The flag on the left.
Very visible, yeah, so. And it should be on there. That's another thing we're going to try and do is get some signs that expand this little map that has more detail on it of all of those things that we can think of, including, you know, flying W alpacas and the Victory Railroad out there and all those fun things to do in the area, and put them in places, you know, maybe some vacant building windows and maybe on the Rotary, the building that they're working on, some of those partitions they have. Anyway, trying to get that stuff out there, word out. That's a good call, Wayne. Next time we run it, we'll make sure it's on there.
Thank you. Any other questions?
What was the big jump in the personnel cost?
That it really isn't that big of a jump. It's only because now our it's the cost of them actually being an employee as opposed to a subcontractor, where I was just writing the check directly to them. But based on the recommendation of our accountant, we knew we needed to change that structure. So it's basically taxes, you know, the tax.
So part. They're on PERS and.
No. It's just as far as a, we are the employer, private employer, not, but not the city. Yeah, the chambers, yes.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys.
On the council business, consent agenda, is there a minute to approve April 22nd, 2015 special meeting and April 27th, 2015 regular meeting?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
And Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Allow a few minutes here to get the attorney up and going.
Yes, this is Carol Connell. She's our city planner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's going to sit in on the public hearing.
You told me that, too.
It's all right. Then we will
Skype
Chad. Then
we'll take her off and put Chad on.
Yeah.
Is she from Douglas County?
From actually Portland. But they're going to...
Hello?
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Can you see us?
I can. Can you see me?
No, I can't. Can you click on your little video?
Thank you. How's that?
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, we'll get started. You might want to sit.
See your forehead and eyes is all we can see.
Yeah, you can go ahead and sit back a little bit.
Oh, all you can see is the top of
your
my head.
Your nose and your eyes.
How's that?
There you go.
Hey, that's better. Thank you.
I'm just going to stay there. Okay.
Okay. Public hearing. There are two public hearings on tonight's agenda. Positive judicial zone change hearing and supplemental budget adjustment hearing. The Planning Commission is recommending council approve requested zone change subject to reported findings and conditions. The properties are at 482 Oak Street and 350 West 6th Avenue. The zone change is for the purpose of allowing new residential construction. Applicants are Habitat for Humanity and Brian and Stacy Martineau. All persons testifying shall be deemed parties to the application and must provide their name and full mailing address if they wish to be noticed of the decision. Continuance appeals of other procedural actions required by the code. Public testimony should be limited to those criteria and findings of fact or to other city or state land use standards. The person testifying believes applies to the purpose of land use action. Anyone wishing to be considered as a party in this matter must raise an issue in person or in writing with significant detail to the city zoning code, providing specific application criteria to be relied upon in making a decision. Those criteria and findings of fact are in the city's staff report. For the hearing body and parties to the hearing, an opportunity to respond to an issue precludes appeal to the land use board or to seek damages in circuit court due to a condition of approval. Supplemental budget adjustment hearing is for 2014/15 fiscal year budget. I will now open the public hearing. Do any member of the council wish to disclose any conflict of interest, ex parte contact, or personal bias on either hearings? Okay. So the plan amendment, zone change, Habitat for Humanity, call for staff report.
Ready for me?
I'm ready.
Just checking to make sure Vicki doesn't have something to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you have, I might be referring to a few things in your packet, and forgive my hoarse voice, I'll try to disguise it. And anyway, so I'm just going to have to give you a summary report and then be open for questions. So what happened is Tax Lot 600 was donated to Habitat for Humanity, and after it was donated, they found out it was zoned industrial, but of course they wanted it for residential, and there already is residential use on the two tax lots. So they counseled with the city, and the city tried to figure out a way to do something to help them, and really the only way they can do this is to change the zone. They cannot tear a residence down and put a new residence up in an industrial zone because it's not a permitted use. So it's not an easy process, but everybody's been working hard to follow all the steps and provide all the notice and go through this process to get it straightened out so they can keep what they have there in terms of residential use. Habitat for Humanity joined with the neighbor, who are the Martineaus, and they own a house on two of the tax lots. so that they're very close together, and that this, so then that this cluster of a very small, about a third of an acre, would be carved out of a larger industrial tract, and allowed to remain for residential use. And so, the Planning Commission held their hearing. They unanimously recommended approval to you, and there were no objections from any neighbors, and there was no objection from the Land Conservation Development Commission, who always gets notice on a plan amendment. Only the City Council can make a final decision on a zone change, so now it's in your hands. The applicant's report and the city staff report make up the full set of findings, and they're both hereby included in the record on this matter. There are four small parcels in this industrially zoned triangular tract, and if I can get you to look at the map on, I think it's noted as not page 9A3, does that look right? Exhibit A. I just wanted to tell you a little about, use this to tell you a little bit about what's happening there. So if you're looking at that map, you'll see this large tract that's zoned industrial, and then the three parcels are on the far left upper corner where Oak Street meets both 4th Street and 6th Street. And they're right on the corner. The uses in three directions are already residential. And then most of the rest of that tract is undeveloped. Now, it made sense when somebody did the zoning, or when the city did the zoning, because you typically use streets as the separating zoning boundary. It provides a buffer by the streets. And so, you know, maybe there was a thought that in the long run, there would be interest in industrial use, definitely on the lower part of this parcel. And if you're familiar with it, it's quite a bit lower as you drop down to Central than it is up on this corner where it climbs the hill. But, you know, it's obvious that since probably 1990, when this might have occurred, there is no industrial interest in this corner in particular, and no market for it that we know of. So it hasn't proven to pan out that way as it might have been predicted. Just another item of interest here is that the transportation plan does illustrate 4th Avenue extending east over to across the railroad and to Kalapuya. So that would be a significant change someday, and it really wouldn't change anything here, but it has been looked at closely, and 4th Street is planned to extend through. So the reason you have to do a plan amendment and a zone change is because the area is planned in general for industrial, and it is given a zone. So if you stayed within the industrial planning category, you wouldn't have to do the plan amendment. You might just change it from a light industrial to a heavy industrial. But since you're changing it from an industrial category to a residential category, it needs a plan amendment. In other words, we're thinking ahead that in the long run it should be planned for residential, not industrial. And so then the zone change just naturally follows to a certain residential zone. In this case, you're going from industrial to residential, and then you're going from industrial M1 to residential R2. I'm not going to go through all the findings because both the applicant and the staff have really carefully looked at all of them and prepared all of them, and we both feel very consistently the same about how this affects your comprehensive plan and the statewide planning goals. I'll just point out that what they all say is that really there's only three goals that would be affected by this kind of a decision. One is the housing goal, one is the economic goal, and then one would be your public facility goals. And so when you look at housing, we know there's housing in the area. We know this particular corner has still been used for housing and can continue to be, and the neighbors feel that that's a neighborhood. They have not objected to this change. So there's consistency generally in the neighborhood now. And the other thing is, you have some policies about, it even says quickly replace dilapidated buildings. Well, the building that they inherited, that Habitat inherited, is boarded up and dilapidated. And this will be the opportunity to tear it down. And what they hope to do is reconfigure the tax lot layouts for those two and build two more single units. And it maybe will be a duplex. It depends on how they can apply to the R2 zones of lot sizes. So they'll have to meet those standards when they come back. And so there's no problem with the housing policies. In fact, there's really not going to be any change except to improve this particular corner. Now, so you look at the economy and you say, well, this is planned for industrial and we might need it for jobs. Well, these three little tax lots are not likely to provide, certainly in the near future and nor in the past and probably not in the long term, any meaningful jobs to the Sutherland economy. And their city already has a more than adequate supply of industrial land. So you're not really losing anything in that regard. And then the other final policy that both the state and the city looks at is public facilities and the efficiency of those. And the utilities are already there. There will be no change. The intensity of the use will not change. It will remain single family. No new services are needed. The streets are planned to be improved someday, but the impact of this change will not put any more pressure on the streets that are there now. So, in conclusion on your policies and the criteria for making this decision, really you can't find anything that is in conflict with either the statewide goals or the city's goals. And maybe a mistake was made when we first zoned this industrial, and maybe we did, but it was a broad brush decision, and it took those typical street boundaries and put an industrial track down here and left it at that. And so now that we have a real viable use, it turns out just better to keep that one corner residential. It's not a spot zone, kind of a zone, because it's blending in with all other three sides of, well, at least two, kind of two and a half sides there of already residential areas. So, you know, I'd conclude with that the Planning Commission was really comfortable with this, and the applicant did a good job in putting together a report for Habitat. We waived the fee on the time that was spent on everybody's staff level, and there were no objections from the neighbors. So staff and the Planning Commission recommend your approval. So if you have any questions, I can answer them now. You can wait and hear any other testimony, and you can come back to me.
I have a question about if you go east on 6th Street, there's three more houses. Why didn't we include those? They're above 4th Street. They're between, 4th Street, 6th Street, and the railroad tracks. I mean, there's, you actually have houses on three sides, and those other three houses are zoned industrial also. I mean, why didn't we include these people?
Well, the city really wasn't leading the application here. It was Habitat, and initially we tried to find a way for them to do it without going through this process, but that could have been done. It extends the notice area, it extends the analysis. I don't know if the people would have supported it or not that owned the property. It made it a little more complicated. And the amount of time that's already been spent on it, I guess, at what cost? There are a lot of things you could change. You could have considered changing. And I really can't answer why we didn't, but sometimes there's no end to that. Well, what about the next one and the next one and the next one? And I don't honestly, Counselor, have an exact answer for what's out there now.
Were those property owners made aware of this process? Did they have opportunity to ask to be, changed? I'm assuming that we have one person here that has a letter of notification that this process was in it, but were all those properties notified of the process and asked if they wanted to be rezoned?
No.
If they had an opportunity, they weren't? I thought that we had a...
You mean, we have a notice after the application is filed to everybody within 100 feet. And yes, those people were notified as required, but we didn't, before the application was filed, the city nor the app, nobody took the took a charge to expand the area of the reason of the zone and change, if that's what you're asking.
Well, yeah, because in my neighborhood, when we had a piece of property out on Port McKay that was looking at be rezoned, and I think they went out a quarter of a mile, it seemed like, to ask people if they had a problem with it. Maybe it's not. I'm well out of 100 feet on that one, but okay, I just want to know if they had opportunity.
And the notice is also published, and it was on the website, and you know, we go by the state minimums. I don't know, in the past the standard might have been different, but it is only 100 feet minimum. And I don't know if the city administrator or any other staff had any other conversations. Obviously, I'm not there very much, so with the other properties that might have piggybacked onto this request.
No, we did not.
Okay. We have other land that's industrial in our area, but how much area do we have that has a railroad spur availability?
We just did a very extensive economic analysis. Is Jerry there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. He might be able to answer that. But
doesn't have anything.
These three are not on the railroad specifically. These three parcels are not on the railroad.
But they're tied into the industrial zoning that goes along the railroad.
But there's no spur there. Why would that make a difference?
Because if an industrial business came to buy this piece of property,
you asked about spur. You asked about, was there a railroad spur there?
No, I said that can be made into a railroad spur. You have to have a railroad next to it to get a spur.
Good luck on getting a spur.
Well, it depends on the business that wants to.
But they're not even near a railroad, so.
Well, you tell me they're right.
Just to answer the question, Albert, not specifically relevant to this issue, there's two points of this thing. We know that we're going to go in and we're going to completely reevaluate that site for mixed use. So what we did is we took a customer's request and accommodated their request to change that one piece to make it contiguous. We added another one so that they could do residential. But we didn't think it was in our long-term best interest to move forward to go seek rezoning of other properties till we get into the analysis of those lands when we do mixed use. And when we do that, and we look at that totality in this next year, some of these questions we'll have more answers for. But in this particular instance, we had a customer who bought a piece of property, got it for Habitat for Humanity. They wanted to do a project in our community to build a home. And what we did is accommodated that customer's request. And so we didn't go out and seek other neighbors and do that. It really wasn't applicable, especially when you consider the big picture thing. Now, if you want to talk about properties that have potential economic development, this mixed use and some of the other work we're going to do is going to help identify it. But in general, there are probably, if I had to guess, 7 to 8 sites that are industrially zoned along the railroad line that could be, including this one. So this particular action you do tonight will not prohibit that potential mixed use or anything. But it just didn't make sense to go spend all our staff time to rezone that residential, then in our mixed use analysis discover that it wasn't a proper mechanism or methodology in terms of creating a diversification of use for that site.
So that's on our plan this year, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
It's one of your top 7 goals for this year.
Yeah. So these buildings that are built are going to pay regular city tax?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're donating time to do this, but...
Right. Yeah, I mean, basically Habitat for Humanity houses, they find a family who's in need of a house, and they donate all their labor and builds a house for them, and they have a house and they pay taxes on it and live in it. That's a pretty good program for disadvantaged folks.
And we're not going to build a duplex. We're going to build two. I'm with Habitat. We're going to build two single-family homes.
I might also point out that in that large industrial tract, almost all of it is one tax lot, except for this corner where there are three tax lots, and two other corners has been carved out. The rest of it is still in one ownership, or at least one tax lot. So.
Hey, Vicki, when was the last time we did kind of like a comprehensive zoning for the city? When was that last?
Comp plan?
Yeah.
I believe it was 90 or 91.
Okay. So it's been a while since we, yeah.
Right. We're not required to do it anymore. They stay loosened those requirements.
Hang on. You'll get to your point. We got a list here, Sean. We'll get to you, okay? You betcha. All right. So next, call for applicants report. Okay. Now, is there any testimony in favor? I got several criteria. Are you in favor? I got more or less if that's.
No, he just said, mentioned something to me. I don't want to interrupt nothing.
You're going to have time to speak. There's just different categories of. That's why I said just hang on for a minute. So, are you in favor? Do you want to.
In favor of what you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
I'm the new owner of the piece of property next to him.
Oh, okay. So there's just a list of how we got to do it. I want to make sure you're heard. I just want to make sure you fall under the right time to come up.
If you're in favor of the zone change, step up.
If you're in favor of it, this is your time to talk, if you like to, sir.
I'm not sure I'm in favor of it yet.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure. Okay. So if you're in opposition, you can come up and speak now. We got different categories.
I still don't have all the facts.
Okay.
It's just
we need to have a category that you don't know.
You're not sure. Neutral party.
That's fine. Now, I'm not done yet. I got more categories you might fall into. Okay. Are there neutral parties who wish to speak? There you go. Am I getting closer?
Well,
but you got to come up here. That way the mic can, we can get you on the record.
I just have, like I said, I'm kind of.
Hang on, you got to state your name. And
my name is Darwin Etter, and I own the house recently purchased, the Martineau's house.
Can you give the address?
350 West 6th.
Thank you.
So I'm just confused and with a stack of papers that I was aware of just recently. This piece of paper right here. So we said multiple use. What kind of restrictions if it's going to be residential? I mean, will that affect what I do on the weekend in my yard or what?
What do you plan on doing in your yard?
Well, where I lived before, I'm building a race car, and it seemed to be a problem with some of the other neighbors. I have hobbies like that. So, I mean, when it goes residential, how... You guys had mentioned multiple use here on the paperwork. I mean, light industrial, that kind of... I guess this is the best way to say it. When I bought the house, nothing was said to me. So that's just the point I have.
Carol, can you answer some of his questions? Maybe.
Well, let's take them one at a time.
Sure, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
So it's residential in residential use now, and it always has been. And the neighbors, and I'm not exactly sure which property you are in relation to this one, but nothing will change from what you're used to, or I guess you're a new owner, so you're not used to it yet. But it will be subject to uses that are allowed in the R2 zone. It's not necessarily a multiple use zone. It allows different kinds of residential uses. And not, you know, really... much else. Some could be a daycare, could be a church with a planning commission approval, maybe a park, but it's not, it's going from an industrial zone, which is kind of confusing because even though it's zoned industrial, it's being used residential. So it's going from a use that's residential to a residential zone to make it consistent with what it is. You really won't see anything different than what's there now.
Okay,
and there are restrictions on the various uses to maintain that residential character. Okay, that's one.
Can I ask this question from Carol? Maybe Darwin, this race car you're building, you're doing it as a hobby and not a, it's not a business?
No.
You're just doing it as a personal hobby, just in your garage?
Well, more or less,
or
yes.
In your yard, wherever. But it's not a business.
No,
it's just home use.
Yeah, I just, you know, more of a, nothing was said to me when I bought it, and part of the reason I liked that spot was no neighbors.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
Right. So it's not a business use.
Did that first part answer?
Yeah. Yes, it did. Thank you very much.
If you have concerns about what you can do and can't do in that area, if you want to come by City Hall, I'll give you a part of the development code that addresses that. But it sounds like you're fine.
Okay, that's all I'm concerned about.
We're open at any time at City Hall if you want to come in and check on that.
Yeah, I just got this and I thought if I didn't come down and listen to what was said, sure. I might be sorry later.
Appreciate you coming.
You know, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for coming.
One would be noise difference.
Yep.
Noise, no revenue.
Okay. Receive applicant's rebuttal. If anyone is justifying an opposition, do we have any? Okay. So now we're going to the supplemental budget.
Excuse me. I think we need to do these separate because they're two different types of hearings.
Okay, because how they have it here. So do it.
I'm not sure how you got it, but we need to do both of them separately.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
So I need to open it up separately?
Well, you should close the land use hearing here if you're ready to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we'll now close the land use hearing. Now we will.
You need to make a motion on this first before you go into the
other? No.
May I make sure I understand what's happening? So then you'll come back and deliberate later? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to have another hearing, and if you could stand by, Carol, and then another hearing issue, and then they're going to come back to the ordinance.
Should only take up a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is your clock the same?
Now we're on the supplemental budget. Okay. Call for staff report. Finance supervisor.
He's now finance director.
Really?
I thought it was July.
But my thing says.
I gave him the title early. Okay. In the military, we call it that frock. Do you remember that frame? When you got frock.
We're leading you astray.
Means you get the title with no pay.
Oh, I think when you got
frock. All right, Dan, you're on.
Each one. So when the budget was adopted last year in May, we had no idea what the exact the loan payments or the rate and everything were going to be on the Ford's Pond loan. And so we put in $60,000 as a placeholder there. When the terms finally came in for the year, they asked for a full year's payment of around $145,000 per year to be paid during the fiscal year. So we need to adjust the wastewater debt service fund by $85,500 in order to accommodate this expense. That'll be paid for by a transfer, an increased transfer from the wastewater operations fund. And since this adjusts the wastewater debt service fund by more than 10%, a public hearing and supplemental budget were necessary.
Okay. How
questions? Are we $85,000 off? Did Andy not figure something when he was doing this?
Because we had no idea what the terms of the loan would be. A lot of our loan payments we pay in two installments during the year. We usually one and half of it at one time, half of it another. Sometimes it's principal only, sometimes it's principal and interest. We had no way of knowing what the actual terms would be, which actually turned out to be very, very good terms. The rate was 2.67%, and we got a $325,000 grant out of the deal too. So.
So how will this affect the starting budget for this year?
That was already addressed in the
wastewater.
The budget that we are presenting to adopt later. So when I put in those projected year-end values, this was included in that, assuming it would
Anybody else? Any public comment on the budget part? Okay. The public hearing is now closed.
7:44.
So now on to action items and general business. So we have ordinance plan amendment, zone change, Habitat for Humanity, first reading. City recorder, can you read the ordinance?
Yeah. Bear with me, I have this recorded. Oops.
An ordinance amending the City of Sutherland zoning map and comprehensive plan map from industrial to residential. Comprehensive plan amendment from L1 light industrial to RM2 medium density residential, concurrently with a zone change from M1 light industrial to R2 medium density residential, to allow for residential use of the property identified and described herein. Whereas an applicant for a zone change was filed by Habitat for Humanity requesting that the properties described in Exhibit A, attached hereto and incorporated herein, which are identified as 25-05-17CD, tax lots 400, 500, and 600, be changed from M1 light industrial to R2 medium density residential. And whereas the Sutherland Planning Commission held a properly noticed public hearing on April 21st, 2015 to consider the applicant's request. Following the public hearing, the Planning Commission passed a motion to recommend City Council approve the proposed comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendments. And whereas proper notice of public hearing before the City Council was given and the public hearing on the requested comprehensive plan map and zoning map amendments were conducted on May 11, 2015. And whereas the proposed amendments to the Sutherland Comprehensive Plan Map and the Sutherland Zoning Map to implement the requested zone changes are found to be consistent with the statewide planning goals and in conformance with the comprehensive plan. The City Council also finds the site is suitable to the proposed zone with respect to public health, safety, and welfare of the surrounding area. The findings supporting these decisions are attached on Exhibit B hereto. Now, therefore, the City of Sutherland ordains as follows. Section 1. The Sutherland Comprehensive Plan Map is hereby amended to change the comprehensive plan designation of the rural property identified at all or as a portion of tax lots 400, 500, and 600 of Section 17CD, Township 25, Range 05, more particularly described and depicted in Exhibit A, attached hereto and incorporated herein from Industrial M1 to Residential R2. Section 2, the Sutherland Zoning District Map is hereby amended to change the zone designation of the rural property identified as all or a portion of tax lots 400, 500, and 600 of Section 17CD, Township 25, Range 05, more particularly described and depicted in Exhibit A, attached hereto and incorporated herein from Industrial M1 to Residential R2. Section 3. These changes have been processed pursuant to the Sutherland Development Code 4.8 and 4.11. Section 4. The City Council hereby adopts as its own finding of facts and decision document of the Planning Commission dated April 28, 2015 and incorporates that document herein as shown as Exhibit B. Section 5. The Sutherland Comprehensive Plan Map and the Sutherland Zoning Map shall be revised to depict the adopted amendments. Section 6. This ordinance shall be effective from and after 30 days following this passage.
I know. Yeah. I know. Isn't that awful?
This is
brutal.
Make that phone call, you know?
We'll add a song next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Break into a little song.
So, is there any more staff report on this? So our motion to approve first reading of ordinance, plan amendment, zone change, Habitat for Humanity as presented.
Second.
So moved.
Second. I'd like her to repeat that.
I'll give you a copy.
Without the tape.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any more discussion? Go ahead and vote.
Councillor Egbert.
Aye.
Councillor Boggs.
Aye.
Councillor Meyer.
Aye.
Councillor Anderson.
Aye.
Councillor Lazier.
Aye.
Councillor Stone.
Aye.
Mayor McKnight.
Aye.
Motion carries. So now we have to get
Now we just need a few minutes. We got to get our city attorney on.
Nice to see you, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Feel better.
Have a good meeting. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, Jacob's family.
Maybe.
It's a little later for Chad. I told him that. So loud. He's probably taking a nap.
How are you pronouncing it?
Hello.
Hi, Chad. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good. Okay. We're
Nap's
ready to
over.
Roll. Yeah, nap's over.
All right.
You on your feet, Chad? Ready?
On my feet.
All right. Here we go. So next is the resolution 2015.04 supplemental budget adjustments. Any more staff report?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve resolution 2015.04 supplemental budget adjustment as presented?
I move to approve resolution 2015.04 as presented.
Second.
Second.
I can hold off for Roddy. Oh, she was.
Want some more elevator music?
Yeah. Can we listen to some more of that recording while we wait?
Yeah, here. Okay. That's what happens when we don't get the ordinance on Monday.
You lost Chad. He's gone.
I thought he said he was ready to go.
Oh.
Karen will be in the background, Chad.
Are you ready for a roll call vote?
Karen's gone.
Oh.
Oh, we got it.
Come off on the door.
We're waiting for you.
How can you be waiting for
me? Internet connection problems.
No, he's already been on. We lost him again.
We lost our internet connection. Can somebody redo the internet connection in the office?
Chief, could you do the connection?
The internet connection. Reboot it.
We can go ahead. We can do the vote if you want.
Wait. We're back. Never mind. Thank you, Chad.
Mayor.
Sorry, we lost our internet connection.
Well, I'm going to see if
she... Okay.
Chad, she wasn't going to be gone that long. Jeez. So it's been moved and seconded. Karen, did you have a discussion on the supplemental budget?
No.
I was waiting for you. Okay. Look, now we can vote.
Councillor Egbert.
Aye.
Councillor Boggs.
Aye.
Councillor Meyer.
Aye.
Councillor Anderson.
Aye.
Councillor Lazier.
Aye.
Councillor Stone.
Aye.
Mayor McKnight.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Hey.
Yay.
You read that way better than me.
Reports.
The second adjustment to the 2014-15 fiscal year budget.
Resolution.
Similar things. We've unanticipated expenses that are listed in the staff report and in the actual resolution. However, they were in funds that were not adjusted more than 10%, so supplemental budget was not needed. I think the resolution spells out exactly what we're asking for and the reasons there for those increases in spending. So if there are any questions.
Do we have anything?
I got a question. It's just when I was looking through this year's budget, I was trying to find the UTRANS. What is that under?
It's in the non-departmental.
Okay.
It's called a public loop.
Okay.
And it's been $10,000 for a long time that we donate to the city donation.
And we didn't have that in the
last year because they didn't come to the meeting, and then they it came to a later meeting.
Oh, I see.
And it was approved by council to have.
Oh, okay.
So they, they're going to be attending the next meeting to give their presentation.
Okay, that's all I had.
Anybody else? City manager update.
We need a motion.
We need a motion.
Well, I'm sorry. I move to approve resolution 2015.05.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve 2015.05 budget appropriation adjustment as presented. Any more discussion? Vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Now, city manager update.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, not necessarily an update, but I want to apologize up front. One of the reasons we put this these budget adjustments here to get them out of the way, because we have kind of a heavy agenda at the next council meeting.
Uh-huh.
So I know you've been spoiled in getting out of here in an hour, hour and a half, but we have a lot of business to take care of. If you read your weekly report, that will explain what that is.
Okay. City Council business. Remember, monthly meeting time is limited. Please ask questions or make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Individual comments and questions that can be handled on a one-to-one basis should be handled outside the meeting. Councilor Anderson?
Nope.
Councilor Lazier?
Nope.
Councilor Stone?
Do we still have maintenance on the flags? Or does Marshals take care of that in their contract? I didn't think they did. I was...
Team landscape?
Yeah, I was approached about the weeds are getting real bad around the flags.
Marshals hasn't started up yet, but they will be taking care of it. In the meantime, we do, if we have time. But Marshals, that's not part of it.
I didn't think that was part of their contract. We used to have professional landscapes donated.
No, nobody. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
No.
But it will be. It will be taken care of. I think it's part of the summer summer contract,
okay.
Which hasn't started up yet.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Councilor Egbert?
Nothing.
Councilor Boggs?
Nothing.
Councilor Meyer?
Next, well, not next time, but maybe the first meeting in June. Could we get something on the trail? Some kind of some figure?
You
something?
Will. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good question.
What do you got?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything other than a shout out again to the Lions Club. They pulled off another successful Mother's Day breakfast and well attended, so that was very nice. And that's all I have. So public comment. The purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off the agenda. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. I have a Mark Little. Come on up.
Sounds like fresh and bright.
Come on down.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. My name is Mark Little. I'm with Bay Cities of Roseburg. And we would just like to...
Can you turn that mic, but I can't quite hear that.
Mark Little, Roseburg, Bay Cities.
Thank you.
We would like to get on the agenda for ambulance service, a proposal for ambulance service. The last council meeting, the ambulance service stated that if one ambulance from Roseburg or Southland was gone, the next one would be coming from Roseburg. We're kind of concerned about that, and we would just like to be able to offer a proposal to you guys for better service to the city of Southland.
Okay. What would be, I guess, included in the proposal? Like, can you give us kind of a rundown of?
Just the services that we can provide to the community of Sutherland. All of the training that we do with the community, schools, the new fire department, just helping in the community in general.
Okay.
You know, like, we're tax-based, you know, we get taxed for everything, too, so we would be providing income there. We could possibly bring our headquarters to Sutherland, and, you know, that would be, right now it's about 30 employees that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Be bringing business to the local community, to local businesses.
From where?
From, what do you mean?
Where would you be bringing your headquarters from?
Roseburg.
You have 30 employees in Roseburg you're going to bring over here? Is that what you said?
Yes. Oh. Yes. We have a wheelchair service also, which makes up a pretty good part of our employees. Yeah.
I think you should be making this pitch to the commissioners. We don't have the authority to award ambulance service areas, do you?
According to your contract, you do.
We could, according to the contract, we could take it back if we wanted it.
Right.
Personally, I don't want it. It's nothing but a headache.
Again, but we're just...
You could get on the agenda.
Yeah, we're just more on the agenda for the proposal.
Okay.
Do we need a motion for that or something? Or?
No. No. I'll just
yeah. Consent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I had up here. Sure. We are adjourned from the council meeting. Announcements. Council will take a 5-minute break before meeting in the executive session called under ORS 192.660 to review and evaluate the job performance of a chief executive officer, other officers, employees, and staff, and the persons whose performance is being reviewed and evaluated does not request an open hearing. Representatives of the news media and designated staff are allowed to attend the executive sessions. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Once the auditorium is clear of audience members and the recorder has changed the recording device, you may open up executive session. 5 minutes, guys.
Huh? Yeah. It's
right here. Behind your back.
Soon I'll be sitting there watching the TV. I look out of the front of my eyes, she's not watching TV, she's watching like a hawk, just waiting for the hand to go up.
Well, it looks like it'd be hard to resist.
One of those tough meetings where there's just all these odd things.
Yeah.
Like
Stella Doss, Stella and Doss. They come in the coolest boxes ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice when they have a workshop.
Yeah.
Stella and
Doss. Yeah, they have some really nice
ones. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they look great on you.
Now I know that you have to close out of the hearing.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, I thought her and Vicki talked about it because it was her hearing and I didn't
care.
Yeah, so my fault.
She talked to me about
saying we're doing this thing.
That's right. Yeah, she talked about saying that the closing of the public hearing was...
Golf
course. Oh, no. You open it at the beginning and close it.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Before 9 o'clock, you're taking land away from that many cars there by
the time. That's what race it. All the way up.
So I wonder if basically.
Do you have materials for this?
She wants to red cross
trail. Maybe.